gave a glimpse at the second. But we'll finish that up rather shortly. I think Hollywood has done a job on us, and so that you have to either go with the entertainment industry when you think of all of the war fighting in the galaxies and the universal struggle of evil against right. It's little wonder that people today can give a serious thought to a Lord God. Just let me capture you for a minute, if I may. The fact that you are here, the fact of the intricate design, let me go further. I'll back up even from that. Science prides itself in the cause-effect relationship, in saying there is, show me in the lab the cause of this. And let's explain this. It can be explained if you know enough. And let me just argue with you for a moment. The complexity of the universe, the intricate design of everything, there's no cause for that. It's just fortuitous bumping of atoms that did all of this and designed it. Well, who caused that to happen? The ultimate who, with a capital W, is the Lord our God. There is a reason for things. Listen, young people, when you go to school and you hear a teacher say that that's not reasonable, you have every right to challenge that. God is the one uncaused cause. And if there were not that, we wouldn't be here to talk about it. And every time a man says, I doubt, he is declaring there is ultimate truth that he's doubting. And God has made all things. And the God who has made all things has an enemy. And God will at last become so triumphant that even darkness, utter darkness and blackness, utter kingdom of Satan, will display the glory of God, who is light. There is no darkness at all in him. Oh, to come to rest in light and truth and have the power of God touch you and to know the filling of his Holy Spirit. Surely in your heart, somewhere, there's a hunger for that. May I just say this to each one of you? You have a socket in your heart that will forever be empty until God settles his son and he's a perfect fit, because he made you. God is, and his son is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'm happy that I've come to know him, and many others of you here agree in that particular testimony of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know him, then you will know his Father. God didn't just stay hid away. Even I, a creature, I'm no creator, I'm a creature. But even I can talk. And God is not zipped up in his lip. God can speak. Where has God spoken? Well, he realized that we're going to have trouble with that. We're going to choke on that truth. And so God himself came. And he came, and Jesus is his name, his human name. And Jesus is the Christ, that is the appointed Savior. The one mediator between God and man is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So now I can know God because he's dropped a ladder from heaven to earth The bottom of the ladder is within reach of the little child. And the top is far beyond us, but it's set against the throne of God. God has come. No one has ever seen God, I'm quoting scripture, at any time. But the only Son of God, right from God's own bosom, has come and made the Father known to us. And John said, as a witness, John, the disciple and apostle, he said, I'm telling you what I've seen and heard. My hands have touched the skin of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. That's what the word incarnate means. He's come in flesh, in human form, so that you can know him, you can touch him. And more than that, he can respond to you. That's a name that Jesus bore on earth, is the Word of God. That means he's the capital M, message. He is God's message from heaven to earth, and you can know him. And let me encourage you to pursue God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. God's not hiding. We're the ones who've lost the way, not God. And he's available to you. He will help you. He'll help you to know him, but not without a struggle. There's no way of talking forever or talking a lot about God without mentioning his enemy. And God has an enemy on earth, and I started to say earlier that he will take all of his darkness, all of the devil's doings will be overcome by God, and he will then demonstrate how powerful he is and how loving he is toward us. And the most wonderful thing is that God can take all of the curse, all of the sin, and then will overcome it to show how good he is and how powerful he is. And he has taken my doubt and my confusion and overcome that and brought life into me as I sought him. But seek the Lord. You must open your heart to the truth, and I'll try to point the way a little bit here today. Getting back to the Hollywood business, don't let the entertainment industry take away your understanding of Satan. There is a devil. Just the same as every day the sun sets and then dark comes. Take the light out, the dark is there. And Satan is the prince of darkness. And he has a lot of other titles that we looked at last week. And there is a very large war going on in the universe right now. You may not be aware of it, you may not be informed about it, but it's taking place. It is much to the devil's end, and his objective is to keep the confusion in our minds so that we don't think of this in a serious way. He doesn't mind entertainment about it, but mostly he doesn't mind all the jokes about the devil. But he doesn't want you to make a serious investigation of it. So I'm sorry that a lot of people are sick this week. This whole sermon right there, but I better not get into that one right now. But I was going to one time, but this isn't time for all that. But you know, this thing is not just, this war is not just taking place out in the galaxies of space. The real thing that Satan's come has come down to us, the Bible says. He has come down to the earth. He has been cast out of his heavenly place. He had a glorious position at one point, but he chose otherwise. How have you chosen? How are you living your life? There is in the book of Jude, that little book of one chapter in verse 9, there is mentioned there of a great contest between Satan and the great archangel Michael. this is everywhere talked about in the Bible, the whole context between right and wrong, between the devil setting himself against God. But you know, it's taking place in individual hearts. I want to just talk to you this morning a lot about what is going on just within each of our hearts. It's the same struggle, but it is presented in a different way. I was just thinking in that connection today of a friend that I, in another state, and I'll call him Bill, and one day I was driving back to Bill's house. I don't know where I think we'd been through some kind of a meeting, and I parked outside his door, and I asked him a question. I said, "Bill, sometimes I think you're heavy in heart." And he said, "Yes." He said, I just struggle all the time against a particular sin. And he said, "I just need to talk to you. I just keep falling in the same way. And I'm so discouraged." I said, "Oh, doesn't God help you? Don't you ask for the Savior?" "Oh, yes, I ask him forgiveness." I said, "Do you know the verse?" I knew he memorized a lot of scripture. "You know 1 John 1:9? And he said it perfectly. "If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So I said to him, "When you fall in the middle of the day sometime, how long before you ask God for forgiveness?" He said, "Oh, right away. I don't want to walk around with sin hanging on me." So I confessed the sin right off and asked him his forgiveness. And I said, "At night, when you go to pray, what do you pray?" He said, "Well, I go back and I tell God, please forgive me for that sin. I pray you'll help me." I said, "Whoop, I thought you'd already asked him. What does the verse say?" "It says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins." So I said, "Bill, what spirit convinced you that you had sinned?" He said, "The Holy Spirit." "Then what spirit made you doubt what he said he would do in forgiving you and said to you, 'You're not forgiven, you better ask it again and then again'?" I said, "How many times you keep on doing it?" You know what the answer to that is? He keeps on asking forgiveness until he's done it again so he can start asking forgiveness again. So I said, What spirit leads you to doubt what the Holy Spirit wrote in the Bible and then have to continue unforgiven until so you got to ask again and again?" There is in the scripture several descriptions of Satan. And one is that he leads the whole world astray. And the second is that he accuses us day and night before God. So he deceives us, and he accuses us day and night before God. But thank God, the next verse, I'm quoting from Revelation 12, the very next verse says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There is a way of bringing the sacrifice of Christ into your present experience when you make confession, when you want to separate yourself from sin. There is a way of grabbing on the cross and getting a release for your heart. And that's what we're going to be about right now. Just let me give a summary view that there has to be in your heart and in mind an understanding of how to use God's word, because it's far too complex and too confusing. The enemy's too strong. We're not going to, and we're too weak. We're not going to get out of it simply by our own thinking. This is not a paper bag that you can beat your way out of. You've got to have help from God. And that help is available in his word, And then you take the word as a sword, as the Bible says, and through prayer you use that. You have to know something about Scripture, and you have to know something about prayer. And then you use the word of God in prayer as you pray, and then you get results. That's what I taught Bill to do that night, and he became free. And I want to share those things with you also. Let me further heighten the point of saying this. When a person comes to me, and I've had numbers to do that, who are, say, taken with some sin, it might be fornication type things, adultery, some immorality, it might be just covetousness and pride, or perhaps alcohol or something. It's habitual. And there has to be a way so that you don't just, every time the person falls, say, okay, God says it won't be too great for you. Now go out, you've confessed it now, go out, and then the person falls again, they come back again. I've had that happen. So what will actually do more than just help the person make an easier confession? What will set the person free? How can he get out of it and break the bind of that habit? Well, there is one who will keep on accusing him, will keep on deceiving him, and he's also weak in his heart. And there's something in us that will resonate to the devil's approach. He knows how to come in on our frequency and to get us. And so what we've got to do is to have God's help in responding in God's way and not in the devil's way. And that's what we're going to be doing right now. There is a way of getting out of this. So I'm on page 2, and I'm down to number 3, up at the top of page 2. And I'll refer back just in a minute to the first page. In fact, we might want to do that right now. So let's flip back to page 1. You see the two diagrams there. And what the devil wants to do is to get beyond diagram 1. Diagram 1 has, see the letter E just outside? The E, the devil, the enemy. That's what E stands for, the enemy. The devil is confronting us, and the I in the center there, that circle, the whole circle, is the domains of a person. That's your person. That's your being. And the ego, the I, is in the center. And the devil wants to knock you off and to get into there, to get into our lives. That's what he wants to do. And he does not prefer to have to stand outside. He confronted Jesus that way. He stood outside, and he tried to get some ground within him. Christ made these words, "He will find nothing, no place in me." But he does get room in us. He gets in us. And so that second diagram shows that. The second diagram on page 1 shows that muddied area there. That's some ground, some area in your life, some habit that's in there, some inclination that the devil can work on. And just like the guitar with strings was strummed up here in front of us today, the devil can do that. He knows where the strings are, the chords of your heart. And whether you need a lullaby or whatever else, he can sure trap us and trick us. And that ground that he has gained through a compromise in your heart, maybe just a continual thinking about something that's not right, and you just set your chair so you can see that person of the opposite sex at the office. It might be something very, very subtle. Nothing's going on. Listen, the devil will be patient for 20 years in order to get you to fall once. and you will be forever marked. The devil will be patient for 20 years in order to get you fall once in a second. Some of you have experienced the hammering from the enemy. Is it not time that you ask yourself, is this the Christian life? Have I found the fullness of Christ in my life? What is this that is spoken of in the scripture? This blessedness. And Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. If your heart wants something better, if you're willing, then maybe through my stammering words and some of these little diagrams, you can be helped today. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the mighty. We're no match for the devil. We're overmatched. We can say that right at the beginning. But listen, he's no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. He did his worst against him. He has the power of death in this world for now. But Jesus Christ accepted all of that and was crushed in death on the cross instead of me, instead of you, if you'll believe that. And then God raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. And it says he has gone into heaven and is seated at God's right hand with angels and authorities and all the powers being subject to him. That's 1 Peter 3:22. And I hope that you'll keep that text in your mind. It's right up at number 3 on page 2. Use the truth. That's I just quoted that right there. And the next verse, I better get back on my track here. The next verse, 1 John 2:14, that verse there says, it connects the having God's truth living within you and the devil being defeated and thrown out. If you bring in the light, the dark goes. If you're in distress as a child, back in the old days, there's no electricity. And here comes old Daddy Harold coming to his child. And I'm coming in carrying my lamp. You're there in the dark, scared of shadows. And I come in and I hold my lamp up and I say, what shadow? Well, the shadow goes. The threat's gone because Daddy's light has come. And when Jesus Christ is your light, your Savior, there is an illumination in your heart that you didn't have before. And the shadows go when the light is on. When Jesus is in, the devil is out. When you are forgiven by the blood of Christ, that sacrifice on the cross, God will accept that. You must accept it. There's my diagram there on the second page. The figure that I hope you will think of as your kneeling figure before the cross. There's God in his holiness. And then God has Jesus, the mediator, the one go-between. And the Lord Jesus hangs there on the cross. Now listen, a mediator has to represent God to us and has to represent us to God. So as our representative, he took all of our sin, and God piled on him what we deserved, and Jesus suffered it there on the cross. And then, representing God, he declares to us that we are forgiven. You'll see the word, you see the number 1 to the right of the cross, propitiation. That word's a good word to learn. If you propitiate somebody, okay, you men, just suppose you were not, didn't do something right at home, and your wife's giving you the cold shoulder, and she's really miffed at you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, say, Pastor Chap comes along, and Brother Chap goes to your wife, and she says, "Now, you know, your husband, I remember back away when he said something really nice about you. Maybe you didn't know that he thinks that well of you or whatever." And so he interceded, and he propitiated your wife, man. And then you come home, and she's propitious towards you. She's favorable towards you. She says, "Now, what else can I? What would you like for supper tonight? What you really want?" She's been propitiated. God's frown turns to a smile when he looks upon that cross. Jesus Christ is our propitiation, our full payment for sin. And now God can, the Lord God Almighty, the judge, can come to me, the offender, and put his arm around me. And the whole crowd on the outside, they gasp, how can the judge come walking out of the courthouse with his arm around the defendant? And I look out to them and I say, "Because he's adopted me." "But how can he do that?" "Because he's been propitiated." "But you were supposed to hang on those gallows over there." Look again, and the judge's son is hanging there instead of me. Christ died instead of me. Christ wants you now. The payment's been paid. If you leave this room today, if you go out those doors without having a release from your sin, without every charge being paid, it'll be in spite of this diagram and what it really stands for. In spite of the cross being erected there, bearing the body of God's own Son. But that's not the end of it. God wants to perform a cleanup operation. You see the word cleansing at number 2, to the left of the cross. The cross is an offering. I'm quoting now from Ephesians 2. Those scriptures down under there? Hebrews 9:14. You can look these up later, not now, but look them up later, and you'll see that Hebrews 9:14 contains two little words, to God. The offering of Christ on the cross is to God. Not just for the sinner, but it's to God, to satisfy him. And Ephesians 2 says that he gave himself for us as an offering to God. And you just stop and think about that, that Jesus Christ satisfies God. Everything that the law would demand, that justice would demand, and by way of a punishment for our sins against an infinite God, have been paid. The offering is to God, and it satisfies God. I want to go back to my friend Bill just for a minute now and finish that up. I would like to tell you the prayer that I prayed with him. So I'm going to open the car door, and Bill and I are sitting up front, and you sit in the back and listen. This is just what happened. It's what I've done over and again with men and women and children. And it's listed in the bulletin at this little sheet here on page 2. And I hope you're going to go through the scriptures faithfully and look them up and mark them and then pray them. Okay? I'm right underneath the little diagram of the cross on page 2. And you see this prayer that's listed there in Christ, under C. In Christ's authority, order the enemy out using the showdown prayer. I call this showdown prayer. Get down to business with it. And I like to kneel when I do this, but when you're really praying, Sometimes it's good to pray out loud also, or certainly even whisper the prayer if people around you or something, but get right to the point of it. And so this acronym, you see the letters BLAST, the BLAST prayer. It's a prayer to dynamite out the devil, to get the victory. The first word there is the word blood. You can make a little note or two by that, and it'll bring it back to your mind. But this is how I prayed with Bill. You listen to our prayer, and I'll talk to him now again. This is exactly how I did. I said, now, Bill, that confusion is not coming out of the Bible. It's a misinterpretation of the Bible. So I took the word. I said, we're going to pray now. And I want you to take the blood of Christ specifically for the specific sin of yours. And it was a moral failure. So you take that sin by name, and you ask God to forgive that sin. You name it. And he didn't want to, but I said, you name it in prayer. And then you claim that the blood of Jesus is my offering, my payment for that sin, O Father. And he did that. And then I said, now, Bill? And he said, but I said, no buts, listen. You claim that as a satisfactory payment for your sin, the blood of Jesus. And then you announce in prayer, tell God, I believe you, Lord Jesus, that you have gone into heaven and are at the right hand of God. 1 Peter 3:22, just not note that down there. Or there are numbers of texts you can use. See, Jesus is the Lord, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. But right now, we're going to claim that one verse. And I had Bill pray that prayer right there, announcing that he believed that Jesus was in heaven, seated at God's right hand. And Lord Jesus, you now have victory over all the powers of Satan and all the heavenly hosts. Under authority, we went next to that. And now, in the authority of the name of Christ, I said, Bill, you say that. You pray that. And so he did. He put it this way. He came to the point of it. And you've got to come to the point of it. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I order Satan out of my life. Or, now you don't have to dialogue with the devil, but you can say something like this, and Satan, in the name of Christ, I take my stand. I order you out of my life, out of this area. It is now cleansed by the blood of Christ. And Hebrews 12, about verse 11 rather, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm praying now, O Father, by the blood of your Son, whom you gave, I claim a release from Satan's power and for all the charges against me. Next, the word Spirit, see that? Father, I need the Holy Spirit now to help me pray and stand. I claim the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? I am asking God himself to enter my life and fill me and make me adequate. I'm not adequate. It would be impossible for me to say how weak I am right now and how I am inside me. God knows it, and he's made me come to know it too. But the marvelous thing is, His Holy Spirit can fill me in my emptiness. And listen, His Holy Spirit cannot fill you in your fullness. He'll stand and wait until you are emptied and humbled enough for Him to enter and fill. Lord, may He fill our hearts. And then you instantly start thanking God. You don't wait till feelings come. If you start thinking, now how do I feel after all this? Did my prayer get through? Oh man, you'll be laughed out of town by the enemy. You'll begin to hear it. But don't wait for that. Instead, fill your heart with thanksgiving. Just look out the window. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the trees. I thank you for good Rhode Island rain. Anything you can think of, just thank God for everything, and for giving His Son, and for the Scripture, and for the truths that you've heard, for the church, for the pastor, for friends, for family. Just thank God, and just keep on until the battle subsides a bit. Now you have to expect, I'm down to the letter D, you got to expect and resist a rebuttal. There will be a return engagement. You will never hear the devil say, oh boy, you beat me, I'm out of here. If he does, don't believe that. But what you can do is you exercise an ongoing prayer. Now, battle praying is different from just the showdown prayer. The showdown prayer is what we just went through, where you name that sin, you bring it right out in the light, and you ask that His blood cleanse you for that specific sin, naming sin. If you've lied, say, Lord, I've been cheating and lying like this for all these years. Forgive me. I plead with you the blood of your Son to cover this sin of lying, of adultery, of lust, whatever it is, of hate and bitterness. Don't let those things ruin your life. Don't let them rule you. In the name of Jesus, you can take this stand. And then you can then finish the matter. And I gave you a psalm with some real strong verses. And they kind of picture the devil getting squashed down, and you're just walking over him. Just keep on pounding him down till there's nothing left. And you do that by battle praying. And battle prayer is simply taking the prayer we just prayed, the showdown prayer, just taking it again. But instead of saying, and I please forgive me of this, I confess. No, you say, thank you, Lord. You take that first part, and you claim the blood, not just to get forgiveness now, but in gratitude. So the battle prayer is the same, except it's, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, that your blood is adequate to cleanse even my sin. And so it's changed now. And I'm going over, and if 20 times a day I've done this, if 20 times a day I start feeling that discouragement again, I don't listen to that. I start using battle prayer. And I just praise God that His blood has cleansed me from the sin that I named. And I continue right, take my stand in the Lordship of Christ. And I use His authority against the enemy and order him back and away. And I start asking God to refresh me. I thank you that the Holy Spirit fills me now. And I claim that refreshment. And Lord, I praise you for all that you're doing. And then when I feel down again and it's coming back, I go right over again. I just keep standing in the name of Christ. I don't ask forgiveness again. I've done that. Now praising God that His blood is adequate And in the name of Christ I stand. He's at the right hand of God. And I quote that verse, write it down, have it ready, that under his feet are all the principalities and powers. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You know, pretty soon, the devil, that hurts a lot. And he'll start saying, rock my baby, boy, don't get discouraged. Don't get upset anymore. He'll do anything to stop that. He may try to give you added assurance or something, but just don't listen. God will explain that to you as you go along. And then I put down one last thing down there, F. Keep from needless re-exposure to infection. May God translate that to you in your need. This verse that I quote there, you can look that one up, and I would have that mark. It just says, be clothed in Christ. Stay with Jesus. Just dress up in Jesus and his righteousness. And then it says, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Don't even let things get into your imagination anymore. If you have given ground to the devil, and he's got something on you that you haven't really settled, then there's no use to try to start thinking right. He'll contradict that and upset you every time. But if you've cleaned house, as I've suggested, and you go through this showdown prayer, and you're faithful to use battle praying, as it were, if necessary and as needed, then you can control the thoughts. You have the mind of Christ, and you claim that. And you say, Lord, I will not be manhandled this way by the enemy. And I won't give any of my thinking to the enemy like that. So you just stand in Christ's name, and he'll see you through for sure. I had a friend in another state some years back, and I remember that he was having trouble one day, real trouble, legal trouble, and he was scared silly. He had a person bringing up some kind of a business enterprise he'd been engaged in the past, and he had this so-called friend who had turned enemy now, and this very powerful woman who had relatives in the whole government area, this very powerful woman was going to strangle him because business-wise, because he had made some kind of a transaction, and he was legally right. But somebody else had messed the whole thing up, and this woman was going to try to take it out of him. She couldn't get to the guilty one, but she wanted to get the money and get it out of my friend. And my friend just said, now what in the world am I going to do? And he was scared. And I said, well, why don't you call this particular attorney? He's a strong, a well-seasoned veteran. And just tell him that we're friends. He knows me, and we're friends. So he did that, and he called this attorney. Do you know what the attorney said? And my friend was going to be dragged into court. I mean, the axe was about to fall, and it was going to come very shortly. I called my friend, and I told him, I don't even think I called you my attorney friend. I just said, you tell him who you are, and that we're friends, and that you need his help, and he'll help me. So he called my friend. You know what my friend said? This older, seasoned attorney. And this lady that was after his money, and she would have, that was stripped him, that was taken everything. She had hired a bulldog attorney, a famous killer right in the area. And so this attorney wrote this letter to my buddy and got him all upset. And man, he meant that attorney could do it too, that bulldog. So now my friend is appealing to an attorney that I knew, and I knew would help him. And he knew the bulldog. These attorneys know each other. And do you know what my friend, my attorney friend, said to my defeated, scared buddy? He said, "I thought you were, did I hear you were going to go on a vacation?" He said, "Yes, but I can't now." He said, "Listen, take your vacation. Leave this to me." He said, "That bulldog, sure, he's every bit as bad as people say, but he knows me. And he has to appear before me at times because he was a commissioner as well as just an attorney. A chancellor commissioner would sit as judge sometimes. So he says, this other attorney you're afraid of, he knows me. He has to appear before me and answer to me at times. We know each other very well. It's going to be fine." The guy just couldn't believe. Burden's gone because he had an advocate, somebody to stand up for. When you appear before God, who is your advocate? If you've got Jesus Christ, the Lord, to stand with you, you've got what you need, then listen. Don't let the battle be lost inside your heart. If you can stand before the Lord God Almighty with Jesus, his own son, representing you, listen, the enemy knows Christ. He can't bear that name and his person and presence. Then don't give it ground in your life. Take it back in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. We've got just a few minutes left. I would like to come to a point with each of you, if you're willing. And this is what I'm going to propose. I want you to consider that right now, there are two offers being presented before you. There is, on the one hand, Satan, who will secretly say in your heart, "Listen, you're doing fine. Don't let that fellow upset you down there," and so forth. And Satan will say just what he said to Jesus. He will say, "Listen, I'll give you everything. All you've got to do is shut down that thought. Shut down this disturbance. I can give you," and I will. He'll see that the hook is well baited, so you won't taste the point for a while. But don't yield to that. Satan will offer you. Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms and the glory of the whole world. He said, "I'll give it all, and it's mine to give." That's the way. He is the ruler of this present age and all of its riches, all of its lusts, desires. He can give you what you want, and he will, until at last he rips off the disguise and you see who you've served. It'll be too late. Don't go that way. Now, who's the other offering? The other one offering something for you, to you this morning, is Jesus Christ. Satan says, "Come on, and I'll give." The Lord Jesus says, "Come on, and it'll take everything." Yes, he'll give eternal life. But right now, he says to you, if anyone will follow me, let him deny himself and take up a cross and follow me. I'm going to be like a seed dropped in the soil, and there it'll perish in order that life can come up. That's how it'll be. It costs everything. And as I look back on my life now, and I've been a Christian for just about 80 years, and as I look back on all those years, I see my life has been a series of contests. And each time I come to a new one of these engagements, a new step in my life, the Lord Jesus says, now come on with me. And I say, but Lord, that's going to be another stripping away of something. And it has been. The very first large thing that I think of was when I was a teenager. And I wanted God's way for my life. But then there was a war. And I remember standing on the deck of the ship. I didn't know what hit me. All of a sudden, I'm saying goodbye to my folks, and I've never seen an ocean before, and I'm out living on it, on a destroyer. And I'm out there, and I said, man, they even took my southern clothes away from me, and I'm in this uniform here. And it just seemed like there's nothing left. I've been stripped and there's nothing left. And then I said, but the Lord Jesus, the very one I prayed to down in that Tennessee cornfield, that one is still with me. I had him. But that was just boot camp, just training. That war, when the whole world, it seemed like, was blowing up when the engagement started. But that was nothing compared to the wars that were yet to come. At every stage along the way, the devil's right there beckoning, come on, come on, you can have this. Nobody will know. Or your feelings would get there, your mind, your imaginations. And then there's Jesus saying, come and follow me. Look at my hands. I do care about you. I care about you. I don't want to destroy you. I want to give you life. And I kept believing that. And my hope for these 80 years has been that one thing of giving to Jesus and denying what I want and what the devil's trying to say. Would you make that stand? And I want to tell you today that you're no different. I'm not an oddball from Mars. It's just that way with me and just that way with you. And you've got these two offerings. You've got the enemy who says, come on, see this. And you've got Jesus. The enemy says, and I'll give you. And Jesus says, follow me. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. I'll fill you with my spirit, joy beyond anything you ever know. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it ever entered the heart of man what God will do for those who love him. And I'm going to tell you that beyond anything I ever imagined is God's blessing, and he just keeps blessing. And the wonderful thing is, I've got an eternity to spend with him. Today, while you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you, in Christ's name, if you will just do one thing with me, if you will stand. And say by your stand, your standing will indicate this to God. You're saying to him from your heart, I give my life fully to Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I claim his blood. We're going to go down this prayer. I'm going to guide you in it. Dave, would you stand, please? Those who want to surrender fully with no reservation. Since about everybody's standing, why don't we just all stand? Let's all stand. And we'll just pray together. And what I'm going to do is I'll guide you in the prayer. And you can make it your prayer. I know it's a clumsy way of doing it, but God will help. And I've already asked him to pave the way. So what we'll do, I will pray, and I'll say the words, and you pray after me, so that we'll go right down this prayer. And if you make it your prayer, God's gonna hear it. He won't hear it from me. He'll hear it from you. It'll be yours. But I want you to pray with a strong voice, not just sort of whispering, but pray with a good, strong voice, repeating the words after me. And I'll pray first, and then you'll pray. I'll lead you in this prayer, in the prayer. And then afterwards, I'll conclude. Let me pray first. Father, here we are in the name of Christ, standing before you as a company of people. And some of us here right now need to be saved from our sin. We've messed around and we've not really settled things in our hearts at the cross, taking the blood of Christ. And then there are others of us, Lord, who at school or at work, even at home, have had so much bitterness and anger. Oh, Father, you know every single heart, the lust that are there. Now we're praying as we stand before you that you will definitely oust the enemy. May Jesus Christ be praised and ruler in our hearts. Help us now, O Spirit of God. You tell us that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit comes in and helps us to pray as we should. Help us now. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Now, while our heads are bowed, with strong voice, I want each of you who desires to settle things with your God and make it, you're making what I hope will be a lifetime commitment. You'll have to often do battle praying. But let's show down with God right now. Repeat the words after me, please. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus Christ. And we're going to name the blood for the definite sin. You'll have to name the sin quietly in your heart. I'll make a blank for you to do. I claim the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from the sin. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. All spiritual beings are subject to him. In the name of this Lord Jesus, I order you, Satan, out of my life. Praise God. I thank you that you right now, O Father, will fill me with the Holy Spirit and I praise you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this fellowship in the church. Amen. Father, just clear the air, clear our hearts. This prayer is fumbling, but the scripture definitely declares that you know the mind of the Spirit who is exercising an intercessory work in the hearts of your children right now. Give us a new release in our hearts. Through Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. Let me ask you to do something now. Don't start feeling around and say, well, how can he pray for all of us? Don't get into any of that. Don't worry about it. I'm a broken stick, but God can use even that. And you just take these scriptures, and as soon as you can get alone, you look over that diagram. You see Christ satisfying the Father and sanctifying you. You claim that. And then just use that battle prayer. Just go right down. It'll come back to you, and God will make it your prayer. And God will give you a release. And don't just make the Christian life a way, a new strength, so you can drag your chains more gracefully. We are claiming release from this. We're claiming a release, and I want you to enjoy that in the Lord. And don't overlook that place where it says, finish the battle. Just you read that song, and just in the name of Christ, you proclaim that. And Satan will give up if you don't. Satan will give up if you don't. But do it this way, not in your own. And God bless you. I've prayed for you already, and I'm going to keep on. So let's make this a week of praying for each other and rejoicing together in what God's done. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.